Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And we will keep in touch with Michelle and with Anne on that story that we just heard about there. Leah, 10 years old, sitting at home since October of last year because a service can't be put in place for her. It's just an awful situation. And you can imagine, you know, yourself, if your children were back in what feels like COVID lockdown, essentially, for that child, staring, as her mum said, at the four walls. So if there's any developments on Leah's story, we'll certainly bring them to you and we will be keeping a close eye on that one. Now, the announcement of further redundancies in Meta's Irish operation last week, which will affect nearly 500 full-time employees, was another blow to the tech industry here. But the news is not all that surprising following a string of other job losses across that industry. Knowing how to cope, though, with a redundancy can be confusing and overwhelming. And to get some advice, I'm joined on the line by Sinead Brady, career psychologist and author of Total Reset. Good morning, Sinead.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for joining us on this one. So over the last couple of months, we've heard about redundancies in the tech sector. They've been headline news, hard to miss them. And it can be easy enough to focus on the figures and forget about the human side of it all. But it's a really difficult situation for a lot of people. And it starts when the rumours start, doesn't it, about redundancies coming in a company?
Absolutely. And you've hit the nail on the head. We hear the numbers, we hear people talking about talent and redundancies and headcount, and we forget that actually behind each of those terms are people. Individuals just like you and me who have bills to pay, who have responsibilities, who have dependent people upon them. And yes, once the rumours start, like, so once the announcement is made, you begin to feel nervous because you're not sure who is going to be made redundant. And what is happening at the moment is there's maybe, let's just pick a figure of 1,200 emails sent out to people. And you know that 400 or 500 people of those 1,200 are going to be made redundant. So for perhaps a space of 6 to 8 weeks, you have 1,200 people wondering, is this my fate? So the psychological impact of that is huge because you exist in this kind of in-between space, a state of liminality, not sure if it's you, not sure if it's going to be your friend or your colleague or who is it going to be. And then how do you prepare as you are so caught up in this emotional state of worry? And then when the email finally does come, if it is to you, you're almost instantly cut off from access to emails and the building and all of that type of stuff. So it's a really, really horrible situation to find yourself in, and the psychological impact is great.
So that's why once you hear the rumour or you get confirmation from your company that there's going to be a redundancy, you have to learn how to manage it. And that's not by being overly anxious or trying to outperform yourself or others around you. You've got to prepare for the worst, have all of your ducks in a row.
Yeah, and I call this your exit strategy. So when these rumour mills begin to turn and when you hear these announcements, begin to put in place an exit strategy. Whether you execute the exit strategy or not is up to you. And obviously, if you're made redundant, at least you have it in place so that you know what you are doing next and you're prepared. Because you can feel a real lack of agency when you don't know if it is going to be you. And often you begin to begin to think of the worst. So the best thing to do is control what you can. And in terms of controlling what you can control your exit strategy. You can make a decision that, OK, so here's what I'm going to do. And part of that exit strategy is, what's your career story during your time in this organisation? So begin to write down, get a notebook and a pen, keep it beside you. And every time you think of a contribution to a project or something that you did across the course of your time and employment in that organization, write it down and really focus on what you delivered, your unique contribution to that project. And I think we're very good here in Ireland at talking about teamwork and, you know, well, I had a great team and that's all brilliant. But know what your contribution is and be okay with owning that. Have the courage of your convictions to say, you know, this is what I did. This is my contribution. And this is the impact that that had.
How careful do you have to be, though, Sinead? Sorry, you were about to continue there, but I just want to know how far you take that. Because if the rumour mill has started about redundancies or an official notification has come, you haven't been told that you've been made redundant yet. So is it a high risk strategy to start casting around, maybe having a couple of meetings, seeing what's out there? If that's discovered by your employer, you might be in a different sort of a situation that might be undesirable.
Yeah, there's that level as well. And what I would say to you is, as you're crafting your career story, you know, you're beginning to think about LinkedIn and you're beginning to think about CVs and that type of thing in preparation maybe for interviews. But make sure that on your LinkedIn profile, you turn off your notifications so that every time you make a change to your LinkedIn, that it's not notified to your entire community and perhaps to your network, who may include your boss.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think that's important. You don't necessarily, I suppose, have to let people know that you're kind of building this career story, but you can begin to network. So by networking, you know, you're beginning to maybe go out and meet people casually for a coffee. And you're just beginning to maybe people that have been in your network, but that you haven't connected with for a while, you're just beginning to have conversations. And you're not necessarily saying, I am one of those people, but you're saying, you know, I'm just prepping and preparing. I don't know who it's going to be. It may or may not be me, but I just want to have had this kind of initial chat about, you know, potentially what's happening in your organization. How does this look from that perspective? And particularly if you happen to be in one of those roles, Claire, that maybe doesn't have a similar department here in Ireland. So, you know, you might be one off a complete team, but that team is all across the world. And moving to a similar role in a different organization is not that easy unless you move geographical location. So I think having those conversations to kind of see where gaps might be, connections might be, where your transferable skills are, is really, really important in those early days and as part of your exit strategy.
And use the time that you have as well, because you're writing down your story. So you can see maybe, well, I have a skills gap there, or I never carried out that task. So I need to learn how to do that. And that's a good time in that lull period before the redundancies are announced to sort of fill in those gaps.
Absolutely. So if you have identified, so as you're doing your career story and you're figuring out, well, like, this is what I've done, this is what the skills that I've earned and learned in this, also make sure to look at your non-promotable tasks and the side of desk jobs that you have done. So non-promotable tasks are the kind of maybe speaking engagements or been involved in organising an event or, you know, so things that are important to the function of the organisation, but don't necessarily form part of your performance metrics. So really begin to think about those and think about, OK, so these are the non-promotable tasks or side of desk jobs that I have done. And these are actually linked, and they're very frequently linked to the diversity, inclusion and belonging agendas or to the ESG strategy. So see where you have connections between those skills and those tasks that you have done and the wider strategy, and begin to build them into your story. So really own everything that you have done. And as you do that, just become a little bit more confident in talking about it, whether that is at home, and just begin to find a way to share your story so that you lose the marbles in your mouth when it comes to interview or when it comes to next steps. And even if you don't aren't part of the group that are made redundant, at least you have built up your resources and you understand what is next for you. And maybe you make the decision that actually, well, you know, even if you're not made redundant, you are perhaps going to move on, because this level of living kind of very on the edge of your seat is very challenging. Mm-hmm. And the career shock is just too much to take.
And I'm sure you're aware of people who take this opportunity when redundancy comes along to completely change their career. But for plenty of others, that might be just too much to take on. What would your advice be?
So the first thing I would say to anybody who's faced with this situation is to pause. So make no big decisions very quickly, whether that be about making a change in your career or making a change in your job. Just pause and see how it's sitting with you. See what your physical reaction is. See what your psychological reaction is. The first thing I would say is make sure that you understand your figures, your numbers, your finances. You know, how much money do you have in the savings and so on, and hoping that you do. And if not, what is the next logical step if you need to get into another job very quickly? Now, obviously, there'd be a package with the redundancy. But if you're thinking about making change, you know, that is a process across time. And this might provide an opportunity to do that. But change doesn't happen quickly. And if you are thinking about career change, you know, normally there's an element of training, upskilling, reskilling involved in that. If you're not coping, and this is the thing, I suppose, this is a really, really difficult thing, because your career is part of your identity. And we've chatted about that before, Claire. And when it comes to being told by email that, you know, your job is no longer there, it can be very hard to cope with that, because this is a shock. This triggers a response of flight, fright or freeze. And if you are feeling like that, check in with the EAP system within your organisation. And the EAP system is the Employee Assistance Programme. And they will be able to offer you, without the knowledge of your employer, up to 6 sessions of support from a skilled practitioner who will be able to help you to navigate some of this if you are really, really not coping. Mm-hmm. So it is okay to have a very worried reaction to this, because you may have dependents and so on. The other thing I would say to people is be really careful that, you know, this can often trigger within a team or within an organisation a period of work intensification, whereby everybody throws themselves into their job and works longer and harder in order to not be on that list. And really kind of be careful on that, because for most people, you're already working really hard, and the notion of working harder to keep your job could almost be a stretch too far. So just be careful around the work intensification part of it, and where you can maintain your boundaries and carve some of the time that you might be tempted to put into the job into your own personal development.
And the reality is it not, Sinead, you might tell me, that for companies who make these announcements that redundancies are coming, they may have already decided where they need to cut back, and it might not be based on individuals, but more on headcount within certain functions in the organisation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is, I suppose that in most cases, the decision is already made.
So there's no point in working 15 hours a day to try and prove yourself, because it's not going to make any difference.
It's most likely not going to make. So what they're looking at, and it's like we opened the piece with, you know, they're looking at numbers, and they're not saying, you know, that this is anything got to do with a particular person. They're looking at numbers, they're looking at figures, they're looking at metrics. And sadly, it's dehumanized. It's not about the person. It's about how much they can save, where they can save it. And really and truly, the psychological contract is broken at that point. Okay. The trust that you've built up and the effort that you've put in. So yes, protect yourself at the back of it all.
Sinead, thank you very much. Sinead Brady there, a career psychologist, with some great advice. And a reminder that Sinead's book is available now. It's called Total Reset. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.